There's always something about the new year besides resolutions and January and being out of school and starting back to school. And there's just this feeling of coming through the holidays and jumping off kind of into the next thing. And whether you understand that or make any reference to that, it still kind of happens. You got that kind of feeling in you like there's a new beginning occurring. And so what I want to talk about today is both church and personal. Now, most of the time it is that way, but I want to call that out. It's church and personal. And this week and next week are going to go together. We're going to jump back to a story that many of us will have heard, a story that we've preached, but in a completely different way here. We're going to read through the story. And interestingly enough about this story is after we read the story, we're going to be able to read in a few verses later what Jesus actually meant. So Jesus tells a story, and then nobody gets it, and then he goes back and actually says, this is exactly what this means, all right? But what we're going to do is talk about who we want to be. We Carolyn, we Aaron, we Bill, okay? Who we want to be as individuals and who we want to be, all right? NBC, who do we want to be? And one week, wow, that was close. One week, we're going to talk about what God wants to do with us. What will make us more? What will make us successful? What will bring fruit? What will bring harvest in 2019? Next week, we're going to talk about what will steal fruit. What will hinder harvest? What will hinder growth in our lives and in our church in 2019? As always, don't take my word for it. Test the word. I never want to be the gospel of opinions. We never want to be the church of this is how Craig says. It's got to come somehow, some way from the scripture. So here we go. Then he told them many things in parables. Stop. Look this way. Them is a large crowd of believers who are just now grabbing hold of the understanding that there is a man on the planet who is not just a man. He looks a lot like a man. He sounds a lot like a man. He was born like a man. He grew up like a man. For those of you who hate these kind of things, I don't care. He threw up, had acne, went through puberty like a man, all right? Jesus was God, but in the flesh. He was divine, but he was human. All of those things, out of the realm of our understanding, but knowing those things makes the whole Bible that much more exciting, that much more important. And the more we learn about it, the more we grow. We'll get into that in a minute. Who's he talking to? A big group of people who are just starting to understand that this guy might be different, all right? And he speaks to them in what's called parables. They're not allegories. They're not similes. They're not hyperboles. They're not exaggerations. They are stories that everyday man can understand, so they begin to grasp who this God is. Does that make sense? It's like sometimes when I'm trying to teach people about the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we will use physical examples to get people to get it. Because even as a child, I was like, I don't get it. You can't be God and be Jesus and be the Holy Spirit all at the same time. You can't do that. No, you can't. You're right. But can H2O be steam? Can H2O be water? Can H2O be ice? Yes, it can. At different forms for different things, H2O is always H2O, but it can take on different forms for different uses. God is always God, but he's either God the Father who created everything, God the Son who came to life in the form of a man, or God the Spirit who speaks to us now while we wait to go where he prepared a place for us. You got that? So, earthly ideas that teach us more, not perfectly though. No analogy is ever perfect. But Jesus is trying to help the people understand in what's called a parable what he wanted. All right? So in these parables, it's all about the kingdom of God. All about the kingdom of God. What is this thing we're after? What is this kingdom that all these modern churches talking about? You know, we just want to be a kingdom-minded church. All right? I don't want to be a kingdom-minded church. I want to be a kingdom church. heart, soul, mind, spirit, action, all right? I want to be a part of God's kingdom. I don't want to hate the Presbyterians. I don't want to reject the Catholics. I don't want to beat the Methodists to the buffet. I just want to all, you know, why can't we just all be friends? All right, I want to really be way more than kingdom-minded. And Jesus is saying, if you want to flourish the kingdom, I'm going to start here. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. Birds came up and ate it. Pretty simple. He threw seed. Some went on the sidewalk. Birdies got their food. Some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So some falls on the sidewalk, some falls down in between the sidewalk, finds a little bit of dirt, sprouts up, but then there's no more dirt. And then it bounces the heat off the asphalt or off the concrete and it just dies because the water just barely gets in there and it's just not enough. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Pretty simple. The plants grew up, but there was all kinds of other things competing for the water, competing for the sun, competing for the soil, even competing for the space. And it would wrap around or it would steal from it. And that plant also died. Still other seed fell on the good soil. And it produced a crop. 100, 60, 30. Listen to me. 100, 60, 30. Read it again. 100, 60, 30. I say that because when we get back to this part and we study it, this is going to be a part that you are going to have to. You're not going to be able to argue with me about it when I teach it, but you're not going to like it. This is a part of the gospel that has been perverted in our society. And I'm going to explain why. I'm going to tell you why you're not going to like it. I'm going to teach you the truth and you can do whatever you want with it. Not my job to make you eat it. Okay? Not my job. My job is to throw it out there. The seed. What kind of soil it lands on is not my business. All right? I want you. So here's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about what will make us better, the things we need to strive for. So we're going to look at the farmer, the seed, and the good soil. We're going to skip the three in the middle. That's next week. The farmer, the seed, and the good soil. All right? First thing about the farmer that I want you to understand that I think we get wrong that we need to change. Do you notice? You would think that if you were a proper farmer, if you were really looking for the proper crop, okay, there would be something that you would do. You would take your seed and you would find what? You would find the good soil and you would simply, on the good soil. That makes sense, right? Not everything in the Bible is going to make sense to us. Here's what I am sure of and here's how we're going to learn from it. What I am sure of is that the farmer sowing the seed represents the Christ figure, the God figure in the story, okay? And what he chooses to do is sow that seed broadcast style, all right? Let the seed fall where they may. Do you know what we do? You know what we do? We like to pick and choose who's good enough to hear the word. Don't we? Oh, no. They're an addict, not good soil. Oh no, they're selfish, not good soil. Oh no, they're gossipy, catty, not good soil. So what we do is we fine-tune what we think the gospel is good for. Stop it. Stop it. There's a whole lot of fertile ground out there that is not your decision who's worth it and who's not. There's a whole lot of places out there that aren't churches where there are people looking for friendship, community, enjoyment, love, hope, relationships. And if we're not there, who is? You know what I think Jesus wants NBC and wants you to hear this year? Broadcast it. In both senses of the word. Broadcast spreader spreads it everywhere. But how cool is it that that word is also what we ought to do? Televisions broadcast, okay? They send the message, the sporting event, the story out everywhere, okay? So at NBC, We need to be taking the seed and going, yes, yes, yes. Believing that there will be fruit. You know why? You don't throw seed for no reason. There's no farmer who goes out into the heat of the summer and throws that stuff out and waters it and watches it and tills it and does the work that makes your hand sore. Nobody does that so they can go, man, that is a beautiful field of dirt I made. It's got pretty rose. Proud of me. Nobody does that. And if you do that, I have a child again now, it's going to happen. All right, if you do that, then eventually you're going to stop doing that. Why? Because there's no fruit result of your labor. Got it? So, as NBC, as individuals, broadcast willingly, fervently, expectantly, because the fields are ripe for harvest. But do not think for a minute that there is not a field out there that God can't make something out of. Some of you are sitting right here now, thankful to your core that the seeds fell on you, that somebody broadcast the message to you because you didn't feel lovable, you didn't feel hope, you didn't think God could change your life, and you are now not only a child of the King, but a broadcaster as well. He can use you. The demon-possessed man, folks, the one that the city cast out, was the first missionary Christ ever sent. Come on. Broadcast. Spread that seed. It doesn't matter that only 25% of the place it landed. Did you catch that? Only 25% of the place it landed produced. It landed on the rocky ground, it landed on the thorny ground, it landed on the shallow ground, and it landed on the good soil. There are four. Only one produced fruit. Listen, in this gospel, in this journey, we're going to have people tell us no. Get over it. One out of four here. Now, is that going to be the number? No. Can I give you a number? No. If a preacher gives you a number, should you listen? No. Do you know why? Because they don't know. I don't know what it is, but I know they don't know either. Well, how do we know something's going to happen? Because that's what I do know. Something is going to happen. Something's going to grow. And it'll grow where God wants it. Now let's talk about the seed. What is the seed? The farmer spreads the seed. All right. What is the seed? Listen to me. The seed is the truth. Now, here's where we live. We live in a world where truth is relative. We live in a world that wants Christie's truth and Rachel's truth, all right, and Lee Allen's truth to be what they want it to be. And we believe that that's going to work. Can I explain something to you that the world thinks and that most of us think is good that is impossible? You ready for this? Social justice. Anybody heard about social justice? Yeah. Look, social justice does good things. Okay? Social justice is when people want to do good things, but they don't want Jesus' name on it. Okay? They want to give to an orphanage. They want to give to the homeless. They want to give to the animals. They want to give to the plants. They want to do good things, but they don't want to put Jesus' name on it. So we call it social justice. Can I just break that down for you? Because this just, nobody told me this. This just happened in my life this week. All right? Social justice. Okay, what is justice? Justice is when you have a return on what you did. If you commit a crime, you go to prison. If you commit a crime, you pay a fine, all right? It doesn't always work out like it's supposed to in the justice system, but if the justice system worked perfectly, that is what would happen. The way we understand justice is good people get good things, bad people get bad things, okay? Justice occurs when there is some system in place where you are rewarded for good and you are punished for evil, and it is all on a fairly equivalent scale. That's justice. Now, social justice, all right? Do you know what the word social there means? Everyone's. The outward community of social media, the place where rich people, poor people, dumb people, smart people, black people, white people, Asian people, Indian people, all get together and call themselves some kind of community. They're not a community at all, all right? Social is we all get together and we all express our things, all right? Here's the problem. In social justice, Bill's justice and my justice don't have to be the same. What I think someone deserves or what I think can be good, Bill says another person deserves it and it can be good. That's all fine until Megan's justice and my justice come together in the same need or want. When that happens, whose justice prevails? When that happens, whose justice? What if a fourth and a fifth person think the justice belongs to another group? What if it turns out to be LGBT, LMNOPQRSTUV? Which letter do we choose and who gets the justice? Because socially, each one gets theirs. It can't ever work. The problem we have right now is not right or left. Listen, it's not right or left. It's not Democrat or Republican, folks. It's that we don't want to pick a middle. We don't want to pick a center. It's easier if we stay in our bubble, try to get people who agree with us, and then we pick our center. So what you have is many miniature social justices, societies. And eventually, you know what happens in them? They disagree about something. Do you know how I know? Because it's why you have Methodists. It's why you have Presbyterians. It's why you have Baptists. It's why you have Church of God and Episcopalian. Because there was something that somebody thought that was different from what their whole group who loved each other one minute, and now we disagree on one thing, so we're going to start another church in another place and do almost everything the same except for this thing. We want to serve communion every single week so we're no longer a part of your family. We want to have a banjo every single week so we're no longer in your family. If you play the drums ever again, no longer will I worship with you. Idiots, all of it. Take that, write it down, record it, put it on Facebook. I said it, I mean it. Though nowhere in there does it say, all y'all just need to get in agreement on everything. No. But you do have to agree on the middle. And what I mean by the middle is the center. And what I mean by the center is the heart. And what I mean by the heart is the phronai. That's the Greek word for core or heart in the New Testament. And what Christians believe the phronai is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but by me. You want to really live, you want to really have truth, you want to really know the way, pick me. I'm not going to tell you how to get there, I'm going to show you how to get there. I didn't say follow my instructions, I said follow me. See, every other religious leader says follow my. Jesus came and said follow me. Okay, so what is the seed? The seed is not your opinion. The seed is not your opinion. The seed is not scripture verses. Now, I want to be clear about this. I love the scripture. I believe in the scripture. But I also know that, can we abuse good things? Anybody like ice cream? Good thing. Can it be abused? Yes, it can. Steak? Come on. Can it be abused? Yeah. Money? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible? I've seen people use it to protest funerals and bash lives. I don't buy into that. I don't deserve that kind of treatment, neither do they. The minute we stop trying to figure out who we're better than, the minute we stop trying to figure out who is good enough to be in our company and realize that we're all bad enough to be in everybody else's company, the world will be a better place. The Bible never said, for there are some who are good and are worthy of the glory of God. That's not what it says, does it? It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're just a bunch of sinners trying to find our way. Blind squirrels trying to find a nut. You know what I'm saying? We're all just, at least we're together. And in this church, if one of us finds a nut, we go, woohoo! And everybody gets 1/200th of a nut till the next blind guy finds his. That's us, right? That's us. And I'm just up in the tree, blind as the rest, going, maybe over there, maybe over there, maybe over there. That's us. All right? We're picking our center. We're picking the heart. We're picking the one who said, not only can I do this, I lived and died to show you that I would do this. I will show you how to do this. We're picking the center. So, what are we broadcasting? Baptist? No. NBC? No. Craig? No. Preston? No. Cy? No. Kids ministry? No. What are we broadcasting? Jesus. Period. How do I know it works? If he be lifted up, he will draw all men into himself. Now let's jump to the good soil. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. Let's stop there before we get to the other part. I want you to listen. When the truth, that's Jesus himself, the truth, Jesus' word, this is going to be hard for some of you, listen to me. When the truth falls on good soil, it produces a crop. Listen to me. What I'm saying right now is a hard truth. You all are like, that's what it says. No, listen to me. This is like in Goodwill Hunting when the psychiatrist is talking to him and he says, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, it's not your fault. And he says it over and over again until somewhere deep down inside him, he breaks open and realizes what it's not your fault means. That's what I'm going to do to you right now. Listen to me. If the truth falls on good soil, it produces a crop. If Jesus and his truth really gets into your heart, it produces a crop. Listen to me. If you're not producing a crop, comma, then did that land? If a seed is in good soil, it does produce a crop. So if there is no crop to show, maybe the seed's not really there. Maybe you're not really who you expressed or professed you were. I want to be clear about something here. I do not believe in saving and resaving and losing and resaving. I don't believe that garbage. I believe that if you are truly saved and in a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, that whether you let go or not, it looks like this. And you can do this all day long. But he ain't. That's the best. There's my parable. Y'all get it? However, a lack of production says something to everyone. Not what we want. Well, here's the thing about our world. Craig's producing this way, and Greg's producing this way, and Spencer's producing this way, then Cody has to produce this way, and Megan has to produce this way, and Amy has to produce this way, and Caitlin has to produce this way, and Tyler, and Britt, and Eva have to produce this way. That's because that's what you want. That's because that's what you think is most, what's the word? Fair. That's what's fair. If Craig can sing and Amber can sing, then we can all sing. If Craig can give 1,000 and Amber can give 1,000, then we can all give 1,000. If Lee Allen can play and Georgia can play, then we can all play. Because that's how God should do it. I don't care how you think God should do it, but over and over again I can tell you how he does do it. And fair is not there. You'll find it in all of Scripture. Any church that tells you different, lies. It's not in there. No fair in there. Woo! Come on. Now, what does he do? One, he produces. Two, he produces big. Can I ask you a question? If you had $10,000, would you be happy with $300,000? If you had $10,000 and somebody said, I'll give you $300,000, would you be happy? Yeah, you'd be happy. You know, when these lotteries get up to 960 million, do you know what most of us are doing? We're salivating, office pulling, but here's what we're also doing. We're trying to figure out what we do with it, and we get up to about 200 million, and we go, don't we? Or you get up to like 80 million, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what else I'd do with this, okay? He doesn't say it produces a crop one, two, or four times bigger. You catching that? He starts with, I could give you a million or I could give you 30 million. That's a humdinger of a difference. When God produces, when God multiplies, even at the bottom, He produces big. That's what I'm trying to say. 30, 60, 100 times. There's going to be a massive multiplication. NBC, if it does what God is calling it to do, is going to experience what? Massive multiplication. And it won't be fair. And some of y'all got to deal with that. Sometimes size not going to schedule you. Sometimes Craig's not going to think to ask you for dinner. Sometimes Stephen is not going to call on you to pray at men's ministry. Sometimes they're going to call another guy to mow the yard instead of this guy. Sometimes. We'll get to that next week. The things that'll kill our multiplication. The things that will kill our center. But for this week, here's what I want for you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to spread Jesus. I want you to experience the incredible multiplication of harvesting more Jesus in the lives of any and every kind of person who wants it. I know I done took one out today. Kendra's like, I'm going to experience something here in a minute. People are going to think I'm Benny Hinn before long. He's down. Don't watch that stuff, y'all. That's not holy. I ain't judging nobody. I'm just telling you that's not holy. It's not in the Bible. It's something else. If they want to do it, call it a circus or a show. That's not holy. He's probably a good dude. Go Benny. I just don't listen to that stuff. Spread the seed for those who have ears. And the addicts have ears. And the drunks have ears, and the gospers have ears, and the McDonald's, and the Walmart, and the bank, they have ears. Make sure they hear. One catch and I'm done. You listening? You can't tell them anything you don't believe in. You can't give what you don't have. You can't ask them to live what you don't live. Can't invite people to church if you don't show up to church. Can't tell people about love if you can't love anybody. Can't tell people about hope if you feel hopeless. Can't give what you don't have. Find it. Because Jesus came. And He was, as Paul described, all things for all people. He's a physician, a comforter, a healer. He is hope. He is life. He is light. He is love. He is. Let's pray. God, let us be a people who scatter good, fruit-bearing seed to all who have ears. Stir in our hearts, till up our hearts, make them good soil, and let us wait and let us be patient for You to bring the crop. Farmers don't grow tomatoes. They plant tomatoes. They water tomatoes. They pull weeds around tomatoes, but they don't grow tomatoes. God grows tomatoes. God, You grow the fruit in our lives. You grow patience. You grow love and joy, peace in our lives. That is Your job, so let us be patient. Remember, crops take time. That sweet baby of mine is not going to sleep through the night tonight. Dang it. That sweet baby of mine is not going to eat like we need her to eat today. It takes time to grow. But God, we're going to beg of you to grow each one of us. And then we're going to beg of you to multiply us. 30, if that's what you want. 60, if that's what you want. 100 times. 1,800 people. 18,000 people. Whatever you want, God. In Jesus' name. And amen.